like a lamb to the slaughter. You led me to this place. Took away everything I brought here. You left me to my fate.
Scalpel.
Saw the eyes of a stranger. Saw the glint of a blade. But I didn't see the danger.
Let's hear some more swamps here. And sharpish.
When I call, you don't hear me. When I speak, you don't understand. When I try to explain, you just turn away. Some things don't turn out as you plan.
We present Cutting Edge, a three-part serial by John Harvey, with Tom Georgeson as Nottingham-based, jazz-loving Detective Inspector Charlie Resnick.
Resnick. Where? Yeah, I'll be right there.
When I call, you don't hear me. When I speak, you don't understand. When I try to explain, you just turn away. Some things don't turn out as you plan.
Sillito Ward, Charge Nurse Doherty speaking. Dr. Fletcher. Well, I'm afraid he's busy at the moment. No, I can't say, but maybe not too long. Yep. I'll be sure to give him the message, don't worry. Karen Adams. Yep. Okay, now. And you have a good evening. What's left of it?
I'd like you to take a look at this new admission, Doctor. It's probably a stroke. One of the neighbours alerted the police. Poor chap had been on his kitchen floor for 2 days.
How old?
70.
I'll clock him in the morning.
He's going to need fluids. You'll have to put a Ventil on him tonight.
Your car could do that, surely.
You know as well as I do, Doctor, that's against policy.
And you know how many hours I've been on duty without a proper break.
No more than 17 or 18.
21.
I'll see if Carl can't give you a hand.
All that time on the kitchen floor, he wasn't exactly in danger of fading away. He must weigh close to 17 stone.
Lift was jammed, apparently. It took two paramedics and a couple of police to ferry him down the stairs.
It'd be difficult enough to find a decent vein for all this fat, but the hypothermia, shock, he's peripherally shut down.
Isn't it worth trying the back of the hand?
I suppose. Though if I could persuade my eyes to focus, that might help too. Oh, damn, now I've punctured the edge of the vein.
Here, let me get a tourniquet on it, then you can try again. Not as if you missed by much.
Thanks.
There was a call for you earlier, by the way. Karen, was it?
Oh, God.
Seems she was expecting you a good couple of hours ago.
I should have phoned.
New, isn't she? I don't recall hearing her name before.
She's a student. 19.
And you met her at a dance, don't tell me.
It's where you meet yours, is it, Carl?
Not exactly.
Nurse!
There, you'll be all right now. Just remember to release the tourniquet in time.
Okay, you bugger. In you go. Ah, got you. Oh, God. Oh, just what I needed.
Managing.
Does it look like it?
It's simply a matter of closing off the cylinder sharply before the blood sprays.
Exactly. Well, when you've cleaned him up, he'll want 1,000 mil of natural saline over 24 hours.
Well, where are you going?
Once I wash this lot away, off duty. Good night, Star.
Karen?
Hi, it's Tim. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I'm on my way. No, I'll cut across the bridge. 10 minutes tops. Just get the wine open, okay? Yeah, you too. Bye. Okay, a little Wagner to help us on the way.
Tim Fletcher, keep me waiting all night and then stand me up at the last moment, see if I care. All the more for me.
What we got then, Graham?
Junior doctor, sir. Tim Fletcher. Someone had a go at him 2/3 of the way across the footbridge. You can see where he tried to get as far as his end doors. Never made it, poor sod.
He's all right.
He's alive, if that's what you mean. Had to have someone carving bits out of you with a sharp implement. Couldn't pick a better place, I suppose. One of the nurses on her way home almost fell over him, sounded the alarm. He's lost a lot of blood, that's for certain. Nasty blow to the head, too. Could have been when he fell.
Somebody's with him?
Aside from half the NHS, you mean. Ah, Patel.
And the weapon, I don't suppose there's any sign.
What?
Now, what is it, Kevin?
Found this, in the grass alongside the road. Scalpel, isn't it?
Good lad.
You don't reckon it's some surgeon clearing out his pockets on the way home?
There. Around the handle, along the back of the blade. That's fresh blood, Graham.
Nurse, excuse me.
Staff nurse.
Oh, sorry. I wondered if I might ask you about Dr. Fletcher.
And you are?
Detective Constable Patel.
You realise you're not going to be able to speak to him now?
Yes, of course. That's why I wanted
to... You want something to write in your little black book?
If you could spare the time.
OK. There are cuts to the face, neck, arms and hands, quite severe. The worst affected area is the rear of the right leg. The wounds have been cleaned and lignocaine will have been injected prior to stitching. A drip was set up to replace the lost blood with plasma expanders. After cross-matching, this plasma has been replaced by 2 units of packed cells. In addition to all this, Dr. Fletcher will have been given injections of intramuscular pethidine to help control his pain. How will that do?
Fine. How's he feeling?
How do you think?
Detective Constable Lynn Kellogg speaking.
Yeah, I do. Detective Constable Patel.
Hey up, Kevin. Tea mashed.
Stew, more like, Sarge.
Best fill kettle again, lad. Hate to start the day without a good strong cup of tea.
Right, Sarge.
Okay, now let's have a bit of quiet.
Right. Tim Fletcher. Junior doctor attacked on the bridge over the ring road on his way home last night. Last reports suggest his injuries aren't as bad as first maybe they seemed. At least he's off the critical list, which means we can talk to him, see how much he remembers. Might not be very much at all. Meantime, we're stuck as far as motive is concerned. He had £50 in a small wallet, in his back pocket, 3 credit cards, nothing taken. Most likely, then, we can rule out robbery.
Unless whoever did it panicked.
Yeah, possibility, Kevin. But there's something about the nature of the attack that doesn't sit right for a simple mugging.
And the weapon, sir?
Lynn?
A scalpel. I mean, surely there's some specific connection with the hospital, I mean.
Someone had crossed swords with, maybe, on the job.
Well, how Fletcher got on with his colleagues, Graham, something we'll have to find out.
But I was thinking, if whoever attacked Fletcher had followed him from the hospital, what was to stop him from lifting a scalpel there and then? I doubt they lock them up like they're the crown jewels.
Well, the way things are going in the NHS, Graham, soon only be one. I have to pass it round between them.
About the scalpel, sir. I don't suppose there's anything yet from forensics.
Well, later today, dip back, but from the smudge marks in the blood, I'd say whoever did this was wearing gloves.
And are we reckoning there was only one person involved?
Footmarks on the surface of the bridge seem to bear that out, yeah? We'll get more details from the scene of crime. Meantime, we need to contact as many as possible of the staff who were working late last night. Graham, organisation of that bounty unit.
Right.
Dipak, I want you to liaise with the hospital security, see if they noticed anyone unusual hanging around. Oh, and get a look at their closed-circuit TV. Run back through last evening's tapes.
Yes, sir.
Right. Lynn, Fletcher's girlfriend at the university. Karen, is it?
Karen Adams.
Right, apparently he was on his way to see her when the attack took place. It's possible she might not even know yet what's happened. You and Kevin track her down, see if she can shed any light. I'll talk to Fletcher and then try and get a word with the consultant. What he's got to say about the wounds might give us some clearer picture. Right, any more questions?
No.
Okay, let's get about it.
Karen Adams?
Yeah?
Detective Constable Naylor, this is Detective Constable Kellogg.
Something's happened, hasn't it? What's happened? Tell me. Oh, God, it's Tim. It is, isn't it?
Yes, but he's all right. I promise you, he's all right. Now, why don't we just go inside and we can explain?
When he never turned up, I just thought, I don't know, either they grabbed him back for something important, an emergency, or he decided he was too knackered after all. Wouldn't be the first time.
Have you been seeing him long?
Not really, a couple of months.
But it's serious?
Sort of.
Whoever you were seeing before, Dr. Fletcher, was that serious too?
The only thing he was serious about was anatomy and fantasy football.
Not you?
Sometimes, when it suited him.
Is this him here? The photo by the pool?
Mm-hmm.
He was a doctor too?
Medical student, second year.
And you dumped him for the real thing?
I never thought about it that way. And besides, what makes you think it was me that dumped him?
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
The student. What's his name?
Carew. Ian Carew.
You've got his address?
Of course, but why... Oh, come on. You're not serious. You think Ian might have attacked him because he was jealous?
It happens.
Yeah, but not with men like Ian.
What about men like Ian?
The only person they really love is themselves.
So, how are you feeling?
I've been better.
Are you up to answering a few questions?
If I can. There's not a whole lot I can tell. Whoever it was that did this, I hardly saw them at all.
What do you mean, them?
Oh, no, that wasn't what I meant. It was only one person, I'm pretty sure of that.
Huh. Was it, what was it, a man, woman, could you tell?
A man. At least, I think so. I've no way of being sure. All I saw, it happened so fast. Whoever it was wearing black. Black sweater, trousers, a black balaclava over his head.
Yeah, was he tall? Was he tall or well built, you know?
Well, taller than me. Close to 6 foot. And strong. When he hit me, I nearly went through the wall. That's it. I can't remember another thing, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Carl Doherty, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
And you were working with Tim Fletcher last night before he went off duty?
The last few hours, yes.
How did he seem?
Tired. Shattered, really. Off to see his girlfriend, though, just the same.
Get on with him okay, do you? Normal run of things?
Yeah, most everybody does. Nice enough bloke, Tim. For a doctor. No, seriously, people like him. What happened, it's a real shock. I expect it's a bit like when one of your lot comes in for it. Everyone rallies round. Tim Fletcher's got Bernard Salt, the senior consultant, seeing to him. About the only time before this I've known Mr. Salt come in outside his scheduled hours was when Princess Di popped by to hug AIDS patients, bless her.
Ah, Tom.
Tim.
How are we today? Feeling better?
A little.
Good, that's the spirit. If you cut us, do we not bleed? Gave the lie to all those buggers who think we're made of stone, eh? Anyway, a young chap like you should heal quickly. Soon be ready for a spot of physio. What do you think?
Yes, Mr. Sir.
Excellent, excellent. Back at the grindstone. No time at all.
Idiot.
See up.
Careful, he's sitting in the saucer.
You don't really reckon him for it, do you? The boyfriend.
Don't see why not. I mean, it's got to be at least a possibility.
Oh, because he's a medical student, you mean?
That and the fact he clearly thinks he's God's gift. You can see in those photographs, body hair and biceps and that. Isn't this your lucky day? Smile. Sort that's born with a silver condom in his back pocket.
Oh, Jesus, you've really got it in for him, haven't you?
He's a type.
And from what you both said about him, hardly the type to get upset over one woman when he can have his pick of the rest.
Maybe.
Mind you, even half awake and looking like she'd been dragged through a hedge backwards, she wasn't the sort you'd pass up in a hurry.
Fancy her then, did you?
Any bloke would.
Any married bloke, Kevin?
Oh, leave it out.
You, Kevin, you.
No harm in looking, right?
Wrong, Kevin, that's where it all starts.
Helen, how many more times are we going to have to go through this?
As many times, Bernard, as is necessary to make you see sense.
Your sense? Always you. You, you. Like so many women, you can't see beyond your own little world.
Oh, God, Bernard, you can be a pompous...
Mr. Salt, Detective Inspector Resnick, your secretary said this would be a good time to catch you.
Of course, of course. The sister was just leaving. Thank you, Helen. I'll see you in theatre tomorrow morning, 11 sharp. Inspector, take a seat, please. I could probably rustle up some coffee if you wish.
No, thanks. I don't want to take up too much of your time.
Straight down to business. Excellent. A man after my own heart.
Well, Tim Fletcher, how well did you know him?
Oh, a pleasant enough young man, I'd say. He's been attached to my team for some little time. My secretary could furnish you with the exact details.
Not the kind of man to make enemies, then?
I did know him socially, of course, but that wouldn't have been my impression, no.
So you've no idea what might have motivated such an attack?
Sheer thuggery aside, you mean? Apparently it wasn't greed.
Was there nothing here to make you think this attack was any different from any other random attack?
I'm not sure.
But you know the weapon was a scalpel. I mean, it wasn't a Stanley knife.
Of course. Well, yes, I suppose there was evidence of what might be called a degree of expertise. The cuts to the face and upper body, those were fairly indiscriminate, quite deep some of them, but ultimately none too serious. The leg, however, that's a different matter. The blade had been driven with some force into the gluteus maximus near the upper section of the thigh, and then drawn down through the gluteal muscles to the hamstring. And it didn't stop there. There was a second major incision, which runs the length of the calf between ankle and knee.
With these wounds, will they walk again?
Oh, yes, I think so.
But they do suggest a particular degree of intent.
Inspector, I can't possibly speculate.
Of knowledge, then? Anatomy? Physiology?
Perhaps. But one which any member of the St. John's Ambulance Brigade might be expected to have. Anyone with access to a good library and half an hour to spare.
How about strength and a steady hand? Don't they count for something in a case like this?
Indeed, Inspector. I shouldn't be much good at my job without them.
Cheerful, Graham.
Wife's Russian class been cancelled. Outbreak of influenza. Means I should get a proper dinner instead of one of them Mars and Sparks jobs staring me in the face from the microwave.
You came in to tell me that?
No. I had a call from Patel. One of the security cameras out of the hospital picked up this bloke in a balaclava round about the time Fletcher was set upon. Hanging round near the entrance, close by that set of steps leading up to the bridge.
No chance he obliges by whisking his hat off at the cameras, I dare say. Yeah?
Too shy by half.
Well, let's get it off to the lab, eh? See how much we can get it enhanced. Might give us something, even if it's only confirmation.
I see forensic came up a blank on the scalpel, gloves like you said, and only Fletcher's blood.
Seen the crime scene pretty certain the attacker was wearing bog standard trainers, pretty well worn into the bargain, but there might be clear enough of a pattern for identification.
If we come up with originals before he burns them or floats them off down river on the Trent.
Do you know, that's what I like about you, Graham. Your unflaggingly optimistic disposition.
Funny, that. Wife says much the same.
Debbie? Debbie!
Jesus!
Debbie, you up there? Debbie!
Where's the baby? Is she in there with you? Is she... Debbie, what's going on? Deb? You okay? Where's the baby, Debbie?
What?
Where's Phoebe?
Who cares?
Where is she?
At my mother's. Is that so wrong? Is it? Well, what's wrong with that, Kevin? Why is that so terrible?
What's wrong is that's where she was yesterday and the day before that. With your bloody mother.
She's Phoebe's grandmother. It's only natural that she...
That you can't stand the sight of your own baby. Don't want to pick her up, touch her, look at her. Not even when she cries.
Kevin!
Especially when she cries.
Kevin, please. I get tired. You know I get tired. I can't help it. Please, I can't. I just can't. Why won't you understand?
Look, I understand that when I come back after a hard day's sodding graft, you're still in bed and the house is like a pigsty. I understand that if I want to see my own kid, I've got to phone to make sure I've got your precious mother's permission, then get back in the car and drive halfway across this sodding city. There, Debbie. How much more do you want me to bloody understand?
Oh, hello, Star. How long have you been standing there?
Not too long. And you don't have to call me Staff, you know. Especially not now.
Sarah, then.
That's better.
You couldn't...
Prop you up a bit. Yeah, it's better. You realise, officially, I was off duty ages ago. It's overtime, this. Unpaid.
Thanks.
Nothing else?
Thanks, I'm fine.
Well, I'll look in tomorrow.
Sarah?
Yeah?
You off home now?
Soon.
Walking?
Yeah.
Be careful.
Help! Help!
Oh, Dizzy, for goodness sake, be quiet, will you? God, you sound as though you haven't been fed for a week. Whereas in truth, it's closer to 30 minutes. Of course, with a memory span like yours, eh? There. And now... Dizzy, Dizzy, you stick your nose in that cheese, you'll get burned. Well, you see, yeah, serves you right. Come on now, scram! Resnick. Yeah. Yeah. Where? Yeah, all right. 10 minutes, 15 at most. No, not till I'm there, yeah? Deepak, what's our name?
He shot himself upstairs. Seems he's got an axe. Threatens if anyone comes near or tries to open the door, he'll use it.
Okay, let's see if we can't get it sorted.
This is Jane.
Wesley, yes, I know. Jane, how are you?
A little concerned about the gentleman who professes to be your friend. To say nothing of the three others he's got locked in there with him.
Well, he's not threatened to harm them too, has he?
So far only himself.
With an axe?
He assured me that if I or anyone else tried to enter, he'd use it on himself. I think he was planning to start with his foot.
Yeah. Which room's he in?
The library.
The library?
Well, the Reader's Digest and a few Dobby and Wilbur Smiths.
Ed! Ed Silver!
Who in God's name's that?
Charlie Resnick.
You're a damn liar.
Ed, why don't you open the door? Let me in.
Too late, Charlie.
For what?
Everything.
Ed, I'm coming in.
You must have looked up from the inside.
All right, dip back. On two. One, two. Ed?
Charlie.
Lively crowd.
It's a library. What do you expect, sir?
You know, the last time I saw you in front of a crowd, it was, what, 10 years ago?
11.
That club up on...
Carlton Hill.
Yeah. It's closed now.
Yeah, I dare say.
You opened with, I Got Rhythm, yeah. So fast you nearly lost the bass player before the end of the first chorus, yeah?
Yeah, a kid. He settled down.
So did you. It was a good night. You were good.
Oh, it was bloody incredible.
Yeah. That plaster across your face and...
Broken nose.
You're not falling off the stage again, are you? That time I read about in Southampton.
Yeah. These days, Charlie, no bugger will let me near enough to a stage to fall onto it.
Ah, well. You know the axe, Ed?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with the axe?
Well, I'll do it this time, Charlie. I think I will.
Come on. Why not pass it to me instead, eh? Come on. I'll give you a hand down. We can go back to my place. Chat. Maybe get something to eat.
Oh, Charlie. Yeah, I think I'd like that.
She's a lovely woman, that.
Jane.
Lovely. How old do you think she is, Charlie? Tell me that.
30. 35.
Hmm. Too young for me, then, you ring?
Not a bit of it.
Yours?
House or cats?
Either.
Both.
Christ. There's scores of little buggers.
If I'd known that, I'd never let go of the cleaver.
The Polish vodka okay?
Yeah. Cheers, Charlie. See? Barely a shake.
So, what are you doing here in the city, Ed?
Yeah, I can't remember.
maybe I'll come to see you. Art Pepper.
Yeah.
Lovely player. Straight like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Knew as much about that as me, he did. Less. Tired, Charlie.
Close your eyes.
As I remember it, Charlie, didn't you used to have a wife?
Morning, Sarah. Bright and breezy?
Not the way I feel.
Had it night?
I wish I could say it was. By the time I got home, I was too shattered to do anything but climb into bed.
Ah, but who with?
A very dear but careworn creature called Edward. One ear missing, a glass eye, and totally dependable.
Oh, that Edward. I think I know him too. Well, I'm not so sure about the dependable.
Hello. How's our prime patient this morning?
Oh, I'm fine. What about you?
Me? Oh, nothing that a week on a health farm wouldn't cure. Why the concern about me?
I don't know. Stupid, I suppose. I was worried, that's all.
Yeah, I can see that. Why?
I kept having these dreams, nightmares, whatever.
About me?
About what happened to you.
What was that?
Oh, look, it's just, you know, what happened to me. I can't seem to stop thinking about it. And, well, last night when you said you were walking home...
You thought the same thing was going to happen to me?
Yes.
Any particular reason? Or were you just fancying the company?
Paranoia, I suppose.
On my behalf?
Everyone's. I mean, whoever did this, as far as I can see, he did it without any reason. No reason at all. Except I happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Until he's caught, who's to say he's not going to do it again?
There was a call from the police. They're coming in to talk to you again. Most probably want to see if you've remembered anything new.
Right. Now we've all seen the tape from the hospital security. Even enhanced, it doesn't show us a great deal we didn't already know.
About to do sighting is one of them films on Channel 4.
Not in much to help with identification. Male, close to 6 foot, as makes no difference, well built. That's as far as it goes. But if we look at the timings, one thing's clear. He was hanging around the area of the bridge for a good 25 minutes before he made any kind of move, which suggests the attack was anything but random. 14 people used the bridge during that time. 11 of them, hospital personnel. 7 female and 4 male. Whoever they are, he's not interested.
He's waiting for Fletcher.
Precisely. And Fletcher is late. But look, run forward, Dipper. There, there. Now, the minute Fletcher's past the entrance, onto the bridge from the street, he's on his way.
And out the picture.
True. But it does suggest Fletcher's a specific target, so there has to be a specific motivation.
Professional or personal.
And that's what we have to establish as soon as we can.
He's only a junior doctor. A bit like me, I suppose, the bottom of the ladder. It's possible to step on the wrong toes, I know, say the wrong thing. But I wouldn't have thought anything he was involved in would have been important enough to justify this degree of, well, jealousy.
And like we said, none of the hospital staff had got a bad word to say about him.
So it's personal.
Karen Adams' last boyfriend, Carew. We managed to contact him yet?
Graham?
Go round at his digs twice, nobody there either time. One of his housemates reckoned he should be in lectures, but when we follow that up, he hadn't been there either.
Done a bunk? Not necessarily. Students skip lectures all the time.
You should know, Dipak, you're the one with the degree.
Mechanical engineering, isn't it, lad? Great help in his job.
Okay, Graham, let's chase this Carew down. If he has done a run, we need to know.
Right, priority.
Karen Adams, I wonder if I could go out and talk to her again. No offence, Kevin, but on my own this time.
Well, you just didn't like me fancying her.
I don't give a toss of you fancy, except it might be handy if sometimes it was your wife.
All right, all right, all right. The girl, Lynn, the girl. You think she knows more than she's letting on?
It's just a feeling, nothing definite.
So, aren't you going to invite me in?
I'm not sure this is a good idea.
No? That's not what you used to say.
God, Ian!
Couldn't wait till we were inside the door before
Ian!
You
Ian!
Yes?
I'll make you a coffee and then you'll have to go.
Okay, whatever you say.
It'll have to be instant.
Always did like a quickie.
Look! Look! You don't understand, do you? You really don't. You think all you have to do, just keep on and on. Sooner or later I'll give in.
Give in?
Look, Ian, I'm sorry, but I think it's better if you go now. I do.
Well, what about the coffee? You're offering
me a... Oh, who cares about the bloody coffee?
Oh, my, you are in a mood. Nothing hormonal, I trust. Besides, I don't know what you're getting so worked up about. It's me who should be angry with you.
Don't see why.
Setting the police onto me.
I did no such thing.
Oh, no? Where else did they get my name from? Yellow Pages? Twice they were around at my place wanting to ask me questions. Of course it was you.
Believe me or not, I don't care. But I didn't mention you. One of them, she saw those pictures of you.
Which pictures?
I had them pinned up over there.
And now?
And now I've taken them down.
Oh. Out of sight, but not out of mind, eh?
Ian, look.
You remember how you used to think about me all the time? All those little stories you used to make up in that naughty little mind. Ones you used to tell me late at night when you phoned me from here, this bed.
Ian, don't.
I bet you didn't do that with him. Tim. Timmy. I bet he didn't like stories like that, too straight by half. Oh, but you, no, you love them, don't you?
Ian, you're hurting.
You remember the changing room fantasy. Swimming pool fantasy. Burglar fantasy.
Oh, God.
Oh, right. So it is that one. Burglar fantasy number one. I break into the house thinking it's empty and I find you getting ready for bed. The only thing is, you've got a few too many clothes on for that.
No! Oh, God.
Karen, tell me. Tell me what happened.
Nothing.
Have you seen yourself in the mirror, Karen? That isn't nothing. It's all right. It's okay, really. It's okay. Who was it, Karen? Who was here? Was it Ian? Ian Carew?
Yes.
What did you say? I couldn't hear you.
Yes. Yes.
Ian Carew?
Yes.
He attacked you?
No.
Someone else did this?
No.
Then it was Ian. He attacked you. He hit you, didn't he?
It didn't mean it.
Sorry. What are you saying? It was an accident. I don't understand.
I mean, it didn't mean to hurt me.
No? Then what did he mean to do? Why was he angry with you? Was it something to do with us, with the police?
It wasn't angry, not really.
Then what? Karen, did Ian Carew have sex with you this morning? Did you make love?
Love?
You had intercourse?
Well, why do you want to know?
You had intercourse?
Yeah.
With your consent?
Does it look like it was with my consent?
He raped you. He raped you.
I suppose so, yeah.
You'll have to come to the station, see a doctor.
Have to?
I think you should, Karen. Please.
Then I'm going to pick you up about seven, then.
Excuse me.
Ian Carew?
Maybe.
Who are you?
Detective Constable Naylor. This is Detective Constable Patel.
Ooh, equal opportunities. That's nice.
We'd like you to come with us to the police station.
What? You're arresting me?
Well, not unless you think we should.
We'd just like to ask you some questions, that's all.
What about?
I think it's better to go into that at the station.
Fine. Okay, I'll come in later, first thing this afternoon. How's that?
Now, if you wouldn't mind.
But you realise if I miss this lecture on gross edema, some poor chap down the line might die of heart failure.
I'm sure someone else will lend you their notes. Now, shall we go?
What's you like?
Cocky sod.
Oh, Graham, you take first crack at him. See if you can't bring him down to earth a bit.
You want me to question him about the girl?
I don't think so, no, not yet. Lynn, what do you think?
She's still in the rape suite, being examined. It's still not clear which way she's going
to
go.
OK, stick to Fletcher for now, Graham. Let's see how far we get there.
Right. Come on, Kev. Let's get
on. Lynn. The girl. How's she bearing up?
Shaky.
You don't think she'll press charges?
I wouldn't bet on it.
Ex-boyfriend. Not always easy to prove, especially if she's not going to give it her full weight in court.
You're not saying it might be better to let it drop?
If the evidence bears out that she was raped, no, of course I'm not. But what I am saying, there's a danger if she's pushed too hard into pressing charges and then changes her mind. Anyway, you use your judgment.
Right.
I thought you wanted to ask me some questions as a matter of urgency.
So we do, Sunbeam. So we do.
Police turning up at the medical school. Very embarrassing. And then you leave me cooped up in here for the best part of an hour.
Sorry, Doc, but at least you had a nice cup of tea.
It was stewed and it was cold and some idiot had stirred at least 3 spoonfuls of sugar into it.
Just trying to keep you sweet.
Look, if you're going to keep me here any longer, I shall insist on seeing a solicitor.
Insist, do I? But
are you saying that I won't be allowed to do so?
I don't think that's what I'm saying. Did you hear me say that, Kev?
No, sir.
Hey, do you know any solicitors?
My family has friends in practice.
I'll bet.
What's that supposed to mean?
Likely not a lot.
Look.
Now, if you really want a solicitor, you feel you need a solicitor at this stage?
What do you mean at this stage? What stage?
All the world's out, Kev.
So they say, sir.
I'm sorry, but this isn't a joke.
No, it's not. There's a man in hospital, near 100 stitches, bits and pieces of tubing sticking out all over his body. Nobody said it was a joke.
What's that got to do with me?
You tell us. Ah.
Where do you think you're off to?
I'm here of my own volition. I can leave at any time.
Any time?
So, what's to stop me?
You tell me. Right, that's a lot more sensible. Now, where were you between 10 and 11:30 Saturday night?
Clem's to have been at the Irish Centre on London Road, student night, some kind of disco. Arrived, he thinks, around 10 after a few parts at the Wheat Sheaves on the way. Left 1:30, 1:45, cab home, fast off by 1:15.
Do you believe him?
About as much as when the doctor told the wife's old man he had nothing to worry about with his prostate. Poor bugger was dead inside of 12 months.
Are we getting the alibi checked?
On it now.
Right. We'll let him stew a bit longer. And hope Lynn has some luck with the girl.
We'd help you, Karen, every step of the way. Giving evidence, is that what's worrying you? Or is it something else? Ian, is that it?
What?
Are you worried what he might do? Frightened? Because if you are...
No. No, it's not that, no.
Then what?
It's over. It's happened. That's an end to it.
No, it's not.
It won't happen again.
How do you know? How can you be sure?
Oh, you don't think I'm letting him come near me after this?
And if it isn't you? If it's somebody else?
Can't do anything about that, can I?
Yes. You can help us put him away.
Oh. You. It's your job, not mine.
It's your responsibility.
No. No, it's bloody not.
Karen, there are other women out there. Other than yourself. Think about them. About what happened to you happening to them.
You think about them. You're so bloody wonderful. You think about them yourself.
If you come back to the station, I'll arrange for a car to take you home.
Doesn't matter.
I really think it would be better.
No, thank you. I'd sooner walk.
Is there no chance she'll change her mind?
I doubt it. And if she did, I don't honestly know if she'd stick with it.
Well, you believe her, though?
Oh, yes.
At least we know he's capable of violence.
Well, Karen would thank you very much for
she's
that.
She's had her chance.
And that's it.
How do you mean?
We're just going to let him go without so much as a warning. He beat that girl up and raped her.
He'll get a warning.
And that's all.
Look, he had it away with it. A bit of rough stuff, cuts and bruises, without a girl's sworn word. What does it prove?
Oh, come
not
on!
Not worse than what goes on between couples all over the city every Saturday night. Consenting adults.
I'm not hearing
and
this.
And I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying how it is.
Oh, fine.
Look, look. Lawyer or no lawyer, he's not leaving here until I've talked to him. Warned him officially, all right?
All right.
Okay. Now, Graham, what's the progress? Chasing down his alibi.
Likely not what you'll want to hear. Two students so far prepared to say they saw him in the Irish somewhere between the hours, he said.
Nothing more definite than that. The times, I mean.
Not as yet, but it's not looking good.
Your alibi. Bit like a string vest.
Don't wear them. More your style than mine. Besides, what do I need an alibi for?
The time Tim Fletcher was attacked.
I've told you, I don't know him.
You know who he was.
Oh, yes.
And you didn't like him.
I didn't give a toss about him one way or another.
Even after he stole your girlfriend?
He was welcome to her.
Oh, really?
Why not?
Well, I thought you liked her, fond of her. Yeah.
Fond? She was all right?
Yeah. All right enough to go back and see her today.
One for the road.
Oh, so you didn't care when she dumped you for
she
him.
She didn't dump me for
I
him.
I should have thought you'd have been pretty angry.
I was a little pissed off. It passed.
Oh, is that all? Just a little pissed off.
It happens. Doesn't it? You probably know more about it than I do.
I doubt it.
Happily married, then? Silver wedding service on the sideboard, stuff like that?
Nothing to do with you.
Oh. So, you do know all about it. Oh, unless you were the one that left her. What did you want to do to him when you found out?
Hit him.
And did you?
No.
Not ever?
Never.
I bet you wish you had.
Satisfying, is it?
I wouldn't know.
You sure?
Sure as you.
And Karen?
What about her?
Was that why you hit her, preferring somebody else to you?
I don't think you understand, Inspector.
Oh, what's that?
I don't hit women. It goes against the way I was brought up.
Kevin just rang in from the Irish. Woman who works behind the bar Saturday night. She remembers Carew chatting her up while he was buying drinks. Last half of the evening, she says. Makes it sound pretty non-stop. Unless he's parked on a double yellow, we can't charge him with squit.
OK, Graham. Thanks.
Carew's solicitor, sir. She's just about climbing the walls.
Right. I'm in there. Now.
My client?
All your client has to do is get to his feet, wipe that smirk off his face, and listen. Ian Carew, in accordance with Home Office instructions, I am issuing you with a warning as to your future behaviour, especially insofar as it concerns Karen Adams. Although, up to the present, she has declined to press charges, there is little doubt from what she has alleged and from the results of a thorough medical examination of her injuries that you are responsible for an assault upon her person.
Really, I'd love to...
Shut it! That girl, Karen Adams, was struck in the face... Struck in the body.
Look,
there are photographs! Polaroid photographs showing cuts and severe bruising. And those photographs will remain on file. Your file. And I hope, for your sake, that I never have to refer to them again. You stay away from her. That's my advice. You steer a wide berth. She doesn't want to see you, hear from you, smell your breath. It's over. You leave it be. Listen! A word you've got to learn. No. Oh, it doesn't mean yes, and it doesn't mean maybe. Girlfriend, wife, whatever. No means no. And you understand it any other way, and you're in trouble. Serious trouble. Right. All right.
busy, Miles.
But you've got no real food, Charlie. You know, bangers, bacon, nice pork chop.
I could do you a sandwich.
Oh, come on, Charlie.
An omelette, then. Just as soon as I've looked after the cat.
Oh, that big one, the blackie. Bit of meat on him, you know. So you got a barbecue out in the backyard.
I hear they've arrested somebody, did you know?
Last to hear anything, me.
That's not true, and you know it. I've never known anyone love to gossip as much as you.
Better to pass it on than be the one most of it's about.
Bitch!
It's one of that girl's, you know, Karen. It's one of her exes, apparently.
Ah, hell hath no fury.
Well, in that case, if half what I've heard about you is true, you'd best watch out.
I'm meeting some pals for a drink. Manhattan's. Why don't you come along?
I'd be out of place.
What do you mean? It's the cosmopolitan centre of the universe.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I'll take Manhattan, the Bronx and Staten Island, too.
Ah. And she went off with him. Estate agent. Last I heard, they were living somewhere west of Birmingham.
Oh.
Weekend cottage in Wales.
Oh. Have you not seen her? Elaine?
Not once.
Nothing. No contact at all.
She writes. Once in a while.
Okay then, is she? Getting on okay?
I don't know. Never open them.
Carl, hang about. You're not going already.
Aren't I?
You can't go now.
No, watch me.
Stay and have another. Just one more, come on. 10 minutes, what difference is that going to make?
We'll never know.
Carl!
Sorry, Paul. I've had enough.
They're all dying, Shelley. Dead or dying.
Who?
Everybody. Clifford, Sandy, Pete, Vernon, Lawrence, Marshall, Tom, all the Browns. All gone. Oh, he was a lovely player, Charlie, that Clifford Brown. That tone, like brown paper crackling. No one else like him.
Maybe not.
You know how old he was when he copped it, Brownie?
26.
25. Just 19, he was in a car crash. Nearly finished him. Almost a year in hospital. Enough to kill you by itself, the way some of those butchers wade in when they've got you strapped down. Anyway, got over that. All right. Started playing again, making it big, and wallop. Another road accident. Dead. 25.
Yeah.
Poor bastard.
Amen.
Sir Brownie.
Yeah, God bless.
Hello? Yes, is he? Don't know who it is, Charlie, but he sounds like he's down a deep end in the barbs.
Youth over there talking to Patel went in for a slash and found him face down in the urinal. Could have been there for a while. Lad stepping round him, reckoned as he'd passed out drunk.
Any identification?
And wallet still in his back pocket, not that I needed it. Carl Doherty recognised him from the hospital. He's one of the nurses.
And where is he now?
Somewhere between intensive care and the morgue, I'd reckon.
Saw the eyes of a stranger, saw the glint of a blade, but I didn't see the danger till it was too late. When I call, you don't hear me. When I speak, you don't understand. When I try to explain, you just turn away. Some things don't turn out as you plan.
In episode one of Cutting Edge, dramatised from his own novel by John Harvey, Tom Georgeson played Charlie Resnick, Sean Baker, Millington, Kate Eaton, Lynn, Paul Baisley, Dipak, and Ben Porter, Kevin. Dennis Hawthorne played Mr. Salt, Jane Whittenshaw, Karen, Nicholas Bolton, Carew, John Sim, Dr. Fletcher, and Adrian Scarborough, Carl. Don McCorkindale played Silver, Peter Kenny, Groves, Gillian Bevan, Sarah, Alice Arnold, Helen, Patience Tomlinson, Jane, and Colleen Prendergast, Debbie. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The Cutting Edge song was written by Liz Simcock, played by Trevor Watkiss, and sung by Gillian Bevan. The director was David Hunter.